partaken.
Sounds like a plan. Stand by, Kira. Here you come.
Hey, there she is.
Hi, how are you guys?
Kira, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm having a bit more drink. I've took a few days off from the booze there for a day or two.
Yeah.
Which so I'm getting back in the saddle just to make sure I haven't missed anything. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it's a pleasure to meet you, Kira. How are you?
Same to you. Yeah.
You bumped into Justin, and you're still willing to come on here.
Got it. Oh yeah.
Online. She hasn't met me in real life.
Sorry, that explains it then. That's that sort of. Kira is a distiller down at Teeling, down in Dublin. Well, I suppose I have to ask a simple question. What's your background? How did this come about? How did you get into that?
Originally, when I was about to go off to college, there was a new course that had come up in brewing and distilling down in Carlow IT, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and it seemed really interesting because it was really science heavy, and I thought it was something new and exciting, a great industry to get into. Mm-hmm. So I just hopped into that. It was a four-year course, and then from then I kind of went in through, did a few internships. I started off originally in a brewery down in Sligo, the White Hag, which I really enjoyed. Great team everywhere I've gone, really. And then moved to a couple of distilleries. I went to Loch Gill down in Sligo, which is really good as well. It kind of opened my eyes up into distilleries. And then also was with Waterford Distillery for a little bit, which was nice. Kind of they do a different approach to things. And then and then now I ended up in Teeling's.
Now you've kind of hit dump three of the big hitters. I mean, Loch Gill is one of those ones that a lot of people might not be all that familiar with Loch Gill, but I was down there recently and it's a huge place. I mean, it's the scale of what they're going to do down there is just incredible. So to even get a taste of that sort of that embryonic stage is huge. So then you moved over to Waterford, with their terroir project, I mean, the scale of it, even just to think that they're going to do that and then put it into practice is enormous. And then to go to Teeling with obviously, they'll talk about that in a minute, their cask program's just totally out there. But so you decided to go into that. I mean, obviously, you must have been interested in science. Was it the chemistry, the biology, or was it just in general?
I really enjoyed the chemistry part, but just anything really. And the actual course, like, it was really broad. We did like a business side and engineering. It kind of touches on a lot of different aspects along with the IBD. So it kind of goes along that curriculum. But yeah, I just thought I just took a stab at it and ended up falling in love, really.
You're a little bit different than a lot of people, because a lot of people just can go into the distilling aspect of it, but you've brewing and distilling sort of mix of both in your CV, if you like. I've said this before. I mean, the fermentation's really, in terms of the spirit, that's the key part of the whole thing. In the science-y terms, would you agree with me?
Definitely. Like the beginning, there's a few different more aspects like hops and stuff when you're doing brewing. But the general, like the mashing process and the fermentation is pretty much the same. And then for what you do after, it changes a bit. It's like with whiskey, it's the aging and everything that kind of makes it what it is. And
well, all up until the fermentation, the wee yeast's doing the wee thing is really where all the flavors created. Everything else is just a refinement of it until you get to the cask, really, isn't it? You know.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And even malt has an entire hugely impact on that as well. Or the different type of process, really. It's just there's so many different aspects that can control your final spirit, and you know, it's kind of fun because there's so much like opportunity to mess around and just create something different every time.
So you're from Carlow? You're from that part of the world?
I'm South African. I've been in Ireland for about 9 years now, but living down in Wexford and then went to college up in Carlow and now Dublin. Yeah.
Well, you don't really have much of a South African accent, if you don't mind me saying. You've got a very, very sort of
neutral almost.
Well, no, I think a very Irish accent, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah! Oh, thanks. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have known you were from South Africa. That's a bit of a curveball threw at me. But yeah,
my guess would have been Cyprus.
Oh, really? I am actually. Yeah. The surname is Greek. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Yeah. There
so,
you go.
Now, so you done your bachelor of science.
Yeah.
In brewing and distilling, is that the actual name of the course?
Yeah, brewing and distilling. Yeah.
So you've done a few internships, a couple of different places, brewing, distilleries, and you end up at Teeling. Now, do you have to serve an apprenticeship, or do you do a trainee program and then become a distiller? You know, how does that happen about? How does that come about?
About what, just in general, how I got to the point, or
yeah, well, you must obviously have to serve a trainee element of it, but is it kind of like an apprenticeship or something along those lines?
Yeah, I suppose, because it depends on where you are, but it is quite a practical job. In our third year, we would kind of go on work placement in the brewery distillery of our choice. And then, so it's kind of, I did that. And then coming out of college, I got a job opportunity from doing the work placement. So I'd gone into that. And then some other opportunities that arose, and they were internships, but I just took it as an opportunity to learn more, mm-hmm. Even though it was internship. But that's how I got into distilling at that same time, was through an internship and then learning for a bit and then being put onto shift as a distiller and so on. And then getting to where I am now, where I came on as a distiller. Mm-hmm. I did a short training, about 6 months, and then became a full distiller.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, is Teeling running 24/7 these days? Or
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Not yet. We're 7 days a week, though.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Right. In an ordinary day, what does your job entail? Do you come in and take over from someone and say, right, or do you fire up the stills, or what's your day consist of?
Yeah, it would kind of depend. We rotate between a day and night shift. There'd be two people per shift, so we would take over from either the morning or vice versa, coming in the morning and starting up. Yeah, if you're coming in the morning, we start up the entire distillery, because we shut it down overnight, and mm-hmm. just go through the brewing process and look at the fermentation and so on, and then run our stills. We usually do two stills at a time, and then we send our spirit off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, so you come in, flick the lights on, hit the button, up and running.
Oh, yeah.
Get the gearbox up and going.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because we run it, it's automated. So we run through a PLC system, mm-hmm. where we do basically everything through the computer, besides some very physical things, like adding our yeast and stuff.
So you're taking care of the fermentation as well as running the stills and making sure the stills.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the entire process throughout. Yeah.
Yeah. So you come in, you do that, and, so there's only two of you basically doing the manufacturing, if you like.
Yeah, for the shift, for half the day, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, obviously, computer-controlled, the temperatures and all that kind of stuff, but in terms of sort of sensory evaluation, yeah, there's a sort of, when you see this and you see all the charts and everything doing this,
yeah,
that's all well and good, but you still need that eyeball and nose and I mean, I work machinery for 23 years,
yeah,
and the charts maybe do, the readings may be all right, but there's something not quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
So how attuned do you have to be to that, just in terms of
it kind of depends. Like, you are constantly watching for temperatures and flows and pressure to do with things, but you do kind of get into a flow once you're doing it every day or a few times a week anyways. You fall into it where you know what you're looking for, and you kind of just subconsciously check it constantly. It kind of just feels part of the process at that stage.
Yeah. Well, put it like this. Teeling do a wide range of stuff, okay? I mean, you do, obviously, your pot still, your single malts, mm-hmm. The black pits, the peated stuff, and quite heavily peated stuff. All of that must... Does it have a different process each time because of the sort of nature of the spirit, or is it basically the pot still just runs through the still at the same temperatures and flow rates and all that kind of stuff, or what is it?
Our stills were kind of, with the different spirits, would kind of run the same. We'd sometimes adjust temperatures and stuff because, with different malt, mm-hmm. if you're coming up at a different temperature, sometimes the percentage would be different, so you kind of adjust for that. Yeah. But besides with the general process, it's pretty much the same. Sometimes we'd have it in our mash tun, a lot of tun for a little bit longer, depending on what it is. Like our pot still would be a bit longer. And then obviously using different percentages of malt, like our pot stills 50-50 malted and unmalted barley. And then, you know, yeah, basically.
pretty much the same. So it's basically the same. It's just the mash bills and the ingredients is basically different.
Yeah. Like our yeast stays the same. We kind of use distiller's yeast and a South African white wine yeast as well.
Yeah. Now, Teeling do a lot of different finishes.
Yeah.
You're doing slightly different, well, you're not doing slightly different, you're doing massively different mash bills and stuff these days as well. Mm-hmm. Is there anything new coming on the scene? Because, I mean, the one criticism, well, it's not really a criticism I have a Teeling is, but you walk in, it's just like, bloody hell, there's some heap of stuff here. So is there anything new coming out of your Bathless again?
Oh, yeah. At the moment, like, we're kind of trying to look at different grains. There's been some interest in getting crystal malt in, which you most recently have. And crystal malt is quite interesting because it's it kind of gives, like, a really rich caramel and, like, beautiful ruby red color. It's a bit different to how they would do regular malt when they're actually processing it. It'd be the same, like, it gets germinated and steeped, and then it kind of gets roasted in a drum for a bit with the inside would crystallize. So you get that real, like, caramel flavor coming from it. So we thought maybe we'd bring that in and then produce it for a bit and then see what it would turn into in our casks.
And probably finish in about 18 different casks just to throw everybody off. Just to throw everybody off. But yeah, so are you doing that now or is that coming along a lot?
Yeah, at the moment we just started brewing with it. So it'd be interesting to see where it comes in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Or even further on, yeah.
It is always funny because you talk about doing stuff now, and you're talking about stuff that people probably don't go to for about 7 or 8 years.
You know? Exactly, yeah. I think it's worth the wait, though, you know, because it's exciting to sit and see what it's going to figure out, what it's going to turn out to be. Because sometimes it's a bit hard to predict it, you know, but it just,
It's a bit like in the speech that I wrote for Justin last week, I have to say, but every time you taste a whiskey, you're tasting something that's historic because it has to be a minimum of 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, 3 years ago, we were in the middle of COVID. We were all sitting at home watching Tiger King and thinking, these people are nuts. But you know what I mean? So no matter what you do with whiskey, it's always that bit historic. So, I mean, I don't like saying it. I sort of hate saying this, but you're a young girl, okay? You're a kind of a young person. They're selling whiskies in Teeling that are much older than you.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, so are you conscious of this? The stuff that you're producing now, in 15 years' time, it'll be when people are actually opening this and drinking it. You know, is that something that you're kind of conscious of?
I kind of see it as a great opportunity because you can kind of put it on the back burner and think about it. You know, it'll pop up again later, and then you're like, oh, yeah, and you kind of remember that you did that in a way. I don't know. I think it's kind of a cool opportunity to come in as young. You know, I'm young and ready to learn. And again, like, there's not many females in the industry, especially in the whiskey just yet. It's kind of building up at the moment, which is great.
It is.
But I just think it's very interesting and very exciting to be in the industry really right now.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Why would it not be? I mean, you're on the cusp of something really, really old and new at the same time. And the name that you're working with, I mean, let's be honest, Teeling, I've said this 100 times before, I totally credit Dr. John Teeling with being really the saviour of Irish whisky. Maybe not the saviour, but certainly the inspiration and the surge behind the Irish whisky renaissance. I don't think there's anybody could argue with that. And so working with that name must carry a bit of prestige with it as well, you know?
Oh, for sure. I'm very proud to it. And like everyone there, it's a great company to work with. The people are lovely. It's a beautiful team there.
Thinking with my tourist head on or my tour guide head on, when people come in, the tourist, because are you aware of them coming in? Because that's a big part of Teeling's business model, obviously, where you are. Do you get to meet and interact with the guys coming in, or do you see them? Or do, There's plenty to do about this. Pointing up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you've been to the Everybeany Distillery yourself, yeah.
Oh yeah. A few times.
Oh yeah. So this kind of our control room is there's a big glass window and it like looks out onto the stills, so they can. It's like we're in a little fishbowl, and they love to. Some people love to wave and say hello. So it's nice you kind of get a little bit of that interaction because there's obviously quite a bit of footfall, which was great for the company. But it's nice, like sometimes we'd have to go and like manually take samples out of the wooden washbacks and so on, and sometimes people will stop and ask you a few questions, and you know, they always seem quite delighted to interact, which is, and it's nice on my behalf as well. I do enjoy that little bit of interaction.
Good. Do people, I hate saying this, but it's a quite obvious thing to say. Are people surprised when they see a young girl like yourself running the stills? Because there is still that the old dude with the whiskey perception, and you do come across the
now,
macho.
Murray, you and me have been through this before. We know that women have better taste buds than men. We know this. We all know this. A certain lady could tell the day a thing went in the cask. You know,
yeah. So well, I guess we've just had Fiona just popping her head in there to say hello. One of the real ladies of whiskey up at Shortcross there. But I mean, do you still get that, or is there people not that surprised anymore?
I would sometimes quite get it a little bit. People would assume that, you know, I'm working kind of in the visitor center side more than anything. Yeah. But, you know, now we have a bit of a uniform. We have shirts that say distilling team. So it's a little bit of help.
Good. I mean, it's still sort of crap, you have to say that, but it is still a perception. Now, it's nice that, I mean, there's Fiona saying it's great to see you, Kira. Yeah, exactly. One of the women that has led the way in distilling in her own right, yeah. Or Fiona. I want to say, what sort of spirit do you drink? So, you know, what sort of whiskey style do you like yourself, or...?
I really personally like peated out of all of them, which I know is not a huge fan favorite. I like a lightly peated. You kind of get that real like maschino cherry almond kind of marzipan flavors which come through. And I don't know, I really enjoy that because you can kind of sip away with it on like, yeah.
I think a little bit of peat adds so much complexity.
Oh yeah.
But there's sometimes it just, I think that it can be hit and miss, you know, because I bought a one in Scotland there that's lightly peated. Just doesn't work.
But I have to get cue cards so as I know what you're talking about, Kira, by the way.
We've been doing this 3.5 years. If it was a whiskey, it'd be ready to drink by now. Justin still hasn't a clue about any of this stuff. That's true. Right. He just doesn't. So you like a bit of light peated now.
Yeah.
Black Pits isn't particularly lightly peated.
No, but I still quite enjoy it. Like, I really like the double distilled that we came out with, the cask strength. Because the mouthfeel on that is kind of, because you have more of the fusel oils in it. I quite enjoy that.
You said the key word there, mouthfeel. So overlooked in a whiskey. So overlooked. People never mention it really, but it's a key part of the whole thing. If it feels nice, it normally is pretty good. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
A good mouthfeel overcomes a lot of deficits. If it feels nice, it's normally not too bad. So you like a lightly peated whiskey. Cask finishing, what would be your favourite sort of cask finishing?
Probably a rum cask, I suppose. Kind of rounds it off that little bit.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Not too sweet?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't have a massively sweet tooth either. Now, your day-to-day working environment, here's a question for you. What's the biggest thing you could make an absolute balls of? You know, when you're still implode or something. What's the one thing that you think to yourself, I can't touch that red button? You know, this is what Justin would do. You would just go, I'm not supposed to touch that red button.
For that, well, probably the computer button, not gonna lie, the power button. I know, but obviously you have to be a bit cautious. The stills are probably the most to watch. Actually, no, the boiler as boring as that is, but like, I mean, because it powers the entire thing. If something is not connecting there, you know, absolutely, you know, nothing's going to work. So it's kind of your key element to everything. But yeah, or that, or milling is probably the biggest, you know, because a lot of issues can happen there. We have a hydro mill, of course. So we have water going at the same time. So it kind of gets, you know, it softens the malt a bit and goes porridgey. So if it's not flowing out right, you know, that can completely get stuck. And then that's a whole thing.
And then do you have to go in and get it?
Yeah, we have to dig it out. Yeah.
Give me a spoon and some sugar and see if you can make porridge out of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's the man for the job there. Justin, if you ever get stuck, you need something to eat out.
No, that's manual labour. I could never do that, Marty. I could never do that.
Good point. You couldn't do manual labour. do you still, is there any more qualifications that you can be doing, you know, in terms of like the IBD, Institute of Brewers and Distillers?
Potentially, yeah. I do have the opportunity to maybe look into doing a master's in distilling, which I would be quite interested in. It's a little bit step forward. Mm-hmm. Or there's the W with the Wisset Sommelier, kind of the tasting and flavor profiling of whiskey and all that, which would also be quite interesting to do. But I haven't moved forward with any of that yet, but hopefully wanted to do it in the future, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose just finding your feet now, getting yourself established, and then you can worry about that maybe a couple of years down the line.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of an employer, you say Teeling is a really good company to work for. Obviously, you can't say anything bad about them. But is that something that they would try and encourage you to do, or possibly?
Oh yeah, they're very good at. They try and they do encourage. They don't necessarily push qualification, but if people do have an interest, they're very encouraging with that, which I think is a very good aspect to have of a company. You know, they just want to watch their employees grow, and I suppose it benefits everybody in the.
How many people work on site in a day? Maybe not know.
On site, in the production team, there'd be about four. Like on a day to day in the visitor center, it's between 20 to 30, maybe even 50 at that stage, depending if there's events and stuff on.
I mean, it's centrally located down the Liberties. I think you have to move to Dublin.
I had to move. It was a big opportunity. So I just thought, you know, why not? I mean, Dublin is very up and coming right now. It's a great place to be, you know, there's always something to do.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting used to it, settling in, being there for about a year now. So,
yeah. House prices and rental prices and stuff.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. It's insane. And like, even to try and find accommodation or housing is absolutely impossible. You know, there's people waiting for housing, like going for viewings and stuff. And there's like 20 or 30 people waiting outside a door. And it's just crazy. Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Now the whole whiskey scene. How much of that are you involved with? Do you enjoy the sort of social aspects of going out and tasting other products, or going to festivals, or any of that kind of stuff? Is that something you're interested in, or is it just?
Oh no, for sure. I attended Whiskey Live, which I really enjoyed. I think it's kind of one of the biggest ones that you can go to, because there's just so many different distilleries that are there, and you know, there's just so much to try, which you spoil the choice. and then there's a good few places in Dublin I quite like. There's a pub called Searson's, which is great. They have a lot of quite a wide range of whiskies. There's quite a few. There's a lot of whiskey lounges and stuff in Dublin, which is great. Again, you have so much choice.
You do. Peter Stewart's asking, where does the spent grain go?
Our spent grain goes to it goes through to farmers. I'm not necessarily sure exactly who, but we have a company that would take it away for us and then use it for feed.
But in terms of all of the waste products from whiskey, basically can be reused in some description, you know. In terms of Teeling, their environmental footprint is obviously becoming more and more of a thing these days. What about your spent lees and all that kind of stuff? You know, is that used for fertilizer and all that?
Not of yet. We do plan to potentially find a better way to dispose of it and everything. but we have it taken away at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose all of that stuff can all be reused in some description.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of being a young person in whisky, you said that you did the course because you thought, oh, this is exciting. Did you have any perceptions of it or sort of what the stereotypical whisky drinker was or something before you did the course? Or did you just think, oh, this is an interesting thing to do? You know, I'm kind of interested in this.
Yeah, I obviously did know, you know, there's this similar profile for, you know, kind of whisky drinkers, and the same brewers have their own style as well. But because it was the first brewing and distilling course that had started in Ireland, so it just kind of like sounded very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did kind of go into it a bit blind, but then again, like I've never changed a thing. I would do it all over again.
Yeah. And were you aware of sort of the history and heritage of Irish whiskey at any point, or was it basically the sciencey thing that took you at your interest?
I knew a bit behind it, and I was quite into craft beer at the time. I was starting new into it, so I was very interested to learn more about it. And I thought, what better way than that, and to learn the science behind it, and then potentially homebrew myself, which I ended up doing.
Did you do homebrew? Homebrew. Justin's ears pricked up there. Homebrew. So, what were you experimenting with various stuff at home?
Yeah, just like general little small things, really, like a few lagers and ales, and nothing too exciting.
And did you do anything worthwhile?
Probably just a dark porter. Nothing too exciting again.
Oh no! Did your mates come around and you all go best?
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Excellent. No, very, very good idea. Very worthwhile cause.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right, whenever you were telling your friends that this is what you were going to do, obviously that must have been their first reaction.
Oh, yeah. It's all about absolutely. The booze. Or do you want any tasters? You know, anything. It's always the same, yeah.
And what were your parents? Again, your parents, whenever you said, I want to do brewing distilling, were they aware of the size of the industry or how big it was getting and becoming?
Yeah, at the time, I don't really think so. But I had full support from both of them. Funny enough, one of my parents don't drink at all. So even at that, it was my mom, she was still very supportive about it. Just because she saw that there was a bit of a niche in the market because they were creating this course and it was new and happening. Mm-hmm. So she did push me towards to do it, which I am really thankful for.
Yeah, good. Good.
What would you have done if you hadn't become a distiller then? What were you angling towards apart from, you know, obviously brewing? What were your choices in life then, Kira?
Yeah. Well, I was a bit interested in either psychology or architecture, actually. Because I quite enjoy the intricate design of the architecture side, and then again with the psychology. I just find people very interesting, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity. You know, it'd be, you know, never boring job.
Yeah, trust me, I work with people all the time, and they're interested.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not just talking about me.
Do you know what I got asked the other week? Do you know the wee Highland cow, the wee hairy cow, the wee thing with the wee thing over its face that gets up in the Highlands?
Yeah.
Do you feed cow? You know, here, boy, and you feed carrots too. A person from the other side of the pond, let's just put it like that, his wife's feeding carrots to one of these things.
Yeah.
Just loads over this. He says, Marty, can you hunt the hairy cow? It's standing there, right? He's feeding his wife feeding carrots to it. He's wanting to know if he can shoot it. It's like, why is that? That'll be some hunt. Here, boy. Come on. People are very weird creatures. Very weird creatures.
Definitely.
Anyway, it's not one that I drink. In terms of spirits, so is there any other spirits that you quite like? Your rums or anything like that?
I'm quite open to a lot of different things. I've very recently kind of touched into mead. I can't remember the name of one that I've just tried, but it's just because I've never really touched on that, but I find the mouthfeel very interesting. It's very thick and sweet, and there's a lot of interesting things you can kind of do with that.
Yeah. And now when you go for a drink,
yeah.
is it Is it kind of a more of a professional thing? Listen, I'm not just sitting here having this. I'm actually doing this as a professional assessment. You know, hang on, whoa, you're talking. This is a busman's holiday for me. You know, is there a bit of that? Do you do a bit of that now? You know,
I say a little bit. You know, you're always working. I know, but it depends. Like, I still find even in my spare time, it is very interesting because I have like a very big interest in it. Like you do, I would still sit there and smell it and like give it a little bit of taste in the beginning and. You know, it's interesting to see what other people have out there, other distilleries and everything, because there's always something brand new coming out and you have to find
time. How much of an input as a distiller would you have into product development, or is that down to the R&D team? Or because Tiering's always been at the renaissance in Irish whiskey. Do you know what's going to be the next thing out in 5 years' time in your position? Is that part of your job?
Potentially we would have general talks about it just to make us aware about what might come out, but it would mostly be all to do with Alex Chasko, our master distiller. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up to him whether or not something gets done potentially, and you know, he goes and picks barrels and he would do all the fun stuff.
you have to aspire to something. You have to always keep aspiring
exactly
to something.
Yeah,
but in terms of going out of an evening now, are your friends, do they turn around and say, what do you recommend? Is there a bit of this goes on now?
Sometimes, surprisingly, you don't really come across that many people in my age group that would necessarily pull towards a whiskey. but I'm very close to the people I went to college with, because we're a very close-knit group and we still hang out all the time, and we'd go out together then and try different whiskies and have suggestions from each other or try each other's whiskies.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And is there sort of a cadre of brand new, fresh-faced distillers like yourself in dotted all around Ireland now? Is this something we can expect to see?
I'd say so, maybe, yeah.
Excellent stuff. I mean, the more we move away from there's a couple of categories of whiskey drinker that kind of get all my tits, if I'm totally honest, and that's the old macho whiskey prick is how I describe them. You know that I drink whiskey, I don't fuck off, right? And they do my head in. And then a lot of the weird beard guys, you know who I mean. About 3 years ago, they were all into craft beers, and then they all suddenly became whiskey experts. there's a bit, they kind of do my nut. And so the more young, fresh faced people coming in, they kind of counterbalance all that the better.
Yeah, we diluted a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a huge cadre of those people still existing. But when you see something like Chivas Regal's Scotch finished in an Irish whiskey cask, what's that mean? Because you're a professional. Tell us what that means to you.
I've never. I'm a bit confused with that myself, because obviously I understand, like, from a technical point of view, they are quite a bit different. You know, Irish whiskey would kind of be that little bit sharper, more of a spicy kind of, there's a lot of heat with it compared to that of Scotch. But honestly, I don't know. Because, I mean, it's such a broad point to make. Like, what cask are you using? Is it, it could be anything.
I mean, if they turned around and said we were using an ex-Teeling cask, you're covering a lot of ground there even to start with, never mind doing the entire Irish whiskey industry. I mean, it's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Ridiculous, just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
Now, we've had a couple of good questions in here. There's Trevor Watson, a regular of ours. He says, would you have ice and water in your glass, Kira? Would that be a thing, or would you be a purist and say, no, you can't, cask strength should be cask strength and all the rest of it?
Yeah, I would say I don't mind either, really. It would depend on what type of whiskey I'm drinking, or if I feel like maybe this would be nicer with a cube of ice, or sometimes, you know, I'd rather have it warmed up a little bit more because, you know, sometimes, yeah, when it warms up a bit, it opens up a bit, a lot of different flavors come out and different attributes to it. I'm very for adding a little bit of water after trying it a little bit, because, you know, the more water you add, you'd like just a drop or two, and it can open up way more flavors in the same way.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, each their own, but I'd kind of mix between the two. I'm not weird about it, no.
What about poaching? Are you a bit of a fan of poaching, or yay or nay?
It wouldn't be my favorite, I'd say. But I feel like there are probably some very good ones out there. It wouldn't be my top choice now, though. No.
Yeah, a bit more refined and elegant. Is that maybe what you're saying? Or lightly peated rum cask.